Sometimes we don't go to God with our marriage until it's infected. We don't go to clean out our hearts until something is completely rancid. Until it is completely impure and clogged up. Then we say, whoo, we need some help now. The Lord is saying, no, your heart needs to be renewed when? Daily.
Welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message where he taught us that we're all going to stumble and fall in our journey through life, and there'll be cuts and bruises along the way. It's just a part of life. Well, today we'll learn the secret to overcoming these painful experiences. It's all about cleaning the wound before it gets infected. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Cuts and Bruises.
I want you to know that the Bible talks about your heart like a well. A well out of which you bring sustenance, a well out of which you bring peace or trust in God or your faith or your joy or your confidence. And the enemy, the adversary of our soul, wants to do exactly the same thing. He wants to clog your well. Or in other words, cause you to lose heart. That's why you just said, therefore, do not lose heart. You guard your heart. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to clog your heart for the church. Clog your heart for your family. Clog your heart for your marriage. Clog your heart for your future. Clog your heart with us by stealing hope. And so then you give up. And you see, when they throw those rocks and it goes into that well, then they have met their goal. And the same thing is true with you. When you start to get criticism and condemnation and people start to paint you in a bad light in front of others, I want you to know that there's a rock coming in. There's an incoming. And that enemy wants to clog your heart. Now, if you deal with it poorly, you can dwell on it, you can get mad, you can get revengeful, you can even get retaliatory. But when that happens, the enemy has won. Because he's clogging your heart. Well, you say, well, Wayne, they come in a lot though. Yeah, here's something you got to do. And it sounds funny and it sounds practical, not very spiritual, but it's very important. It's found in Matthew 10 and it's going to come up on the board and it says this. Would you read it? Go. Whenever you go into a town, whoever will not receive your welcome or message, when you leave, here's what you do. Shake the dust off your... Yeah, when you see one of those incomings, you know what you and I have to learn? We gotta shake it off, shake it off. Because the haters are gonna hate, 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 hate. The blamers are gonna blame, 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 blame. But we gotta shake it off, shake it off. Yeah, the sooner you do it, the better. We have to learn to do that. See, our problem is we dwell on it too much. We think about it. We dwell on it. We analyze it. And by that time, it is so deep into us that it's toxified our wells. Sometimes when you leave the office in the afternoon because of the talk that goes around your office, and when you leave the office, you got to shake it off, shake it off. Don't take it home. Then you toxify your home with that. There's slingers everywhere. There's slingers even in the church. But you have to recognize them and shake it off. Just leave it. I'm not going to take it home. Sometimes you leave your relative's house and you got to shake it off. Sometimes you leave a church situation. You got to shake it off. Oh, you say, oh, Wayne, yeah, no one will talk about me. I'm so good. I love everybody. There is not a bad bone in my body. I love you. The only problem with that is that kind of thinking doesn't work. So it doesn't matter how good you are. Sometimes the better you are, the badder they get. Because they get jealous. You convict them. They don't like it. And so they're going to do something to sabotage that because they're going to show you that you're human just like anybody else. So you can comply and you can placate them 1,000 times. They're still going to find something wrong. It just doesn't matter. They're a slinger. This funny story about this irate customer in this restaurant, and he says to the waiter, come here, it's too hot in this place, too hot. He said, oh, okay, sorry, sir, I'll take care of that. And he ran back, about 5 minutes later, how's that? Oh, it's better. And then about 5 minutes later, it's too cold now, it's too cold. Oh, sir, I'll take care of that, and ran in the back. How's that? Better. About 5 minutes later, now it's too hot, it's too hot. So I said, sir, you bet, I'll take care of that. Came back, says, yeah, that's better. About 5 minutes later, now it's too cold again, I'm out of here. He says, he gets up and huffs his way out. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. The guy in the booth next to him calls the waiter over and says, man, you've got to be the nicest waiter I have ever met. That guy was such a pill, and yet you were so nice. And the waiter winks and says, I'll tell you a secret. Says, what's that? We don't have any air conditioning here at all. But some people just are going to grumble about anything. I've had people grumble and criticize me because they say, Wayne, you smile too much. You smile too much. You make fun of this and you laugh about this. I say, well, you know, I guess that's just who I am. Yeah, but you just got to be more serious. I said, well, I don't know. I guess it's because I ate too much Spam growing up. I don't know. But you see, part of it is you just got to get humorous back and just shake it off. Don't let it enter your head. Listen carefully. The book of Psalms says it this way. Psalms 140, it says, a gossiping and a fault-finding tongue is like a venomous snake. Listen carefully. The more you dwell on criticisms, the more that venom's going to get into you. Here's a tip. I found the less I know about your problem with me, the easier it is for me to shake it off. But the more I dwell on it, I wish someone would have told me this long, long, long ago. Because the more I dwell on all their problems or their concerns or their condemnations, their criticisms about me, the harder it is to shake off. Because the more you take it in, the more the venom gets into you. It's like they're going to have problems with anybody if it ain't you. But because I'm trying to be nice, I say, well, they say, you know, I don't like you. Okay, well, tell me what it is you don't like about me, and let me just write this down. Well, there's quite a few. Okay, if you'd list them, I'll do everything I can to help you. It's like, no, don't do it. They're just going to throw their flesh and problems onto you. It's almost like you got to say, does this look like a rubbish can to you? No, as soon as they say, I don't like you, okay, thank you, next, and just move on, shake it off. Don't stay around and say, what is it about me that you don't like? Would you like to describe it, maybe draw a picture about it? No, like, no, stop it. Because a fault-finding person is like a what? A venomous snake, and the more you dwell on it, the more it'll depress you, it'll dilute you, it'll discourage you, and it'll make you upset. And then you'll start to get retaliatory, and then you'll get toxified, you'll get septic, and it'll mess you up. And now you can't shake it off. And how many of us dwell on that stuff for far too long? There's going to be people that are going to find fault with me or you regardless. Regardless. I mean, I can go out and help every old lady across the street, and I can buy every cookie from every Girl Scout in Hawaii. Still someone will come up and say, well, look at that pastor. He's hitting on old women and young girls. Isn't that right? They're going to come up with something. So as soon as they start, like, shake it off, done. You and I will come to a great freedom as soon as we can accept the fact that not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to like us. So here's a greater priority than trying to get everybody to like you. Because, listen, if I changed with every critic, everything they said, if I changed to them, I would know who I am today. I'd probably return to Portugal. I'd be in a cave somewhere. But we can't do that. See, something that's a greater priority than trying to please everybody, which is a dangerous thing. Something far greater is the priority of keeping your heart guarded. That's what the scripture says. Don't you lose heart. You're going to have slingers everywhere in the church, outside of the church. And if you're not careful, it'll clog up your heart. Above all, would you read this Proverbs 4:23 with me? Go. Above all, guard your, for it affects everything you do. That's the wellspring. That's your like an artesian spring, your heart. Out of that will come everything. You've got to keep that pure. When I was a youth pastor, I used to go to a camp with our young people, and the only source of water was this artesian well, like a spring, up in the hills. And we used to take water out of this little area, and we would, you know, make Kool-Aid or punch or stew or whatever, everything with this water. And the ranger would come every week to check the bacteria level of it. So he'd dip some of that stuff in the water and shake a little test tube and say, good to go. But one day he came and he shook that little test tube and he said, whoa, don't drink the water. I said, we already did. He said, whoa, don't drink anymore. I said, why? He said, whoa, way too much bacteria. I said, why is that? Whoa, I don't know. I said, well, I want to puke right about now because I drank a bunch of it. He said, don't drink anymore. Boy, he puts on his hip waders and he walks up the creek, comes back about 2 hours later and said, okay, you can drink the water. So I said, what was the change here, pray tell? He said, well, there was a dead deer there that was decomposing and laying in the water up there, and so it was running through the deer down to your camp. So then I really did puke on his hip waders. But you see, if the headwaters are pukey, then everything else is pukey. And that's why the Bible says when you get cuts and bruises, right there, guard your heart. Because even trivial things hold the power to become far more powerful than they were ever designed to be in the negative. Or God can use them, if you respond correctly to them, to build in you an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That when you solve the problem, I'll give you a boatload of wisdom. That's what I wanted you to have in the first place that you're going to need down the road. So these trivial things aren't small things. They're far more important than you realize. But you have to know how to deal with these stones. If you dwell on them too long, it will toxify and poison you. Well, you say, well, how do we do that? Well, here's something very interesting. Would you read this next one? It's right in the same scripture. It'll come on the board. Go. For while our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. How often do you renew it? Every day. In other words, what he is saying is, if a stone gets in there, don't delay. Get rid of it. Don't delay when your heart goes bad. You watch people, when you tolerate a bad heart in your family, it won't be long before your family falls apart. Oh, I don't like it here anymore. I don't love you anymore. I don't love this family anymore. Where did it start? With a scratch? No, it wasn't some blow up. It wasn't like terrorists attacked your home or something. It was a scratch from a barnyard cat that you didn't take care of. You delayed. A stone went into your well. You delayed. Some years ago, I got up about 1 a.m. and my eye was really sore. I thought, what? I guess I had rubbed my eye previous to my bedtime with some dirty hands, and now it was starting to sting. So I thought, oh, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I should wash it, but I don't know. I'm too tired. So I thought, it'll wait till morning. So I went back to sleep. About 4 a.m, it was really sore. So I thought, I'll get up in a couple hours anyway, so I'll just wash it then when I get up. When I got up at 6:30, I couldn't even open my eye. It had swollen so shut. By the time I went to the doctor, I had to get medication for it. And I thought, how true that is with life. Sometimes we don't go to God with our marriage until it's infected. We don't go to clean out our hearts until something is completely rancid. Until it is completely impure and clogged up. Then we say, whoo, we need some help now. The Lord is saying, no, your heart needs to be renewed when? Daily. Day by day. What he's saying is, don't delay it. Your heart is far too precious. And the sooner you deal with it, the sooner you shake it off, the better. Remember, the longer you dwell on something and delay on something, the more venom comes into your heart. You got to deal with it right away. Don't sit there and listen to all the accusations. Let it go. Let it go. So what do you do? Here's a tip that I work on. It's right there in the scripture. Let's read this one here. So we fix. Would you read it? Go. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is... Yeah, what he's saying is, don't fix your eyes on that which is present, that cut, that scrape. What that person said in passing. He's jealous, immature, angry, tired. Don't focus on it. Watch what you focus on, because whatever you focus on, you become like. You focus on a problem, you become like the problem. You focus on God, you become like God. That's why the scripture says again and again, set your heart on things above and not on things beneath. Some years ago, I was taking a motorcycle safety course, and they were teaching us how to take steep turns, like a hairpin turn on your motorcycle. And the police officer said, usually there's going to be a guardrail there. Don't focus on the guardrail. And I said, why not? Because it's right there, you know, and they spent a lot of money on it. He said, don't look at the guardrail. Why? He said, because if you look at the guardrail, you'll become one with it. So I said, well, where do you focus? He said, you don't focus on what's in front of you that you see. You focus on way out there coming out of the turn, what you don't see. In other words, focus on coming out of the turn, not going into the turn. You turn your head and you look out there. And when you do, a gyro is activated in your mind and your body and your bike goes out there, not over there, because you're going to end up what you're focusing on. You could be that close to the guardrail, but it won't bother you because it's pulling your bike that way. And the gyros even in the motorcycle are designed to do that. But if you focus on the guardrail, you'll panic. You'll get polarized. You can't steer the bike and whang, you are one with the guardrail. You look out of the turn, not into it. And I thought, you know, the scripture says that. Don't look at what's seen in front of you, what's going on. You look at what's not seen. What is God teaching? What is he doing? Here's what I do. You say, well, how do you do that? Here's really two simple tips, and that is this. I have two lists that I have. One is a to-do list, and one is a to-be list. I have them on my iPhone. A to-do list, which was very practical. When you're getting all of these things, and people are going to sling stones at you every day. And they're going if you're trying to do something for God, and you're going to try to do the best you can, you're going to get slingers. If you're not doing anything, the devil just is like, I'm good, because he ain't going anywhere. But if you're going someplace and you want to please God and you want to do something for the kingdom, you're going to have these slingers. And they're going to come at you. But you see, if I have a to-do list, like, I've got to get my devotions done today, and then I've got to do this, and I've got to work on my car, and I've got these things to do, and I've got to write that letter, and I've got this. I can't spend a lot of time on these other things because I got stuff to do. It helped me to see something greater than that. Otherwise, I'll fix my eyes on the wrong thing. If you don't have anything to do, you watch how the enemy's going to grab your attention and command it and hold you hostage. So focus your eyes on, here it is, a to-do and the to-be list. I have another list that says, here's what God is calling me to be. And I've got to know what God's purpose is for my life. So there's certain things I need to read. I've got to double my theology in this area. I've got to research and think through this. I've got to develop a deeper relationship with this child, with this daughter, with this son. There's got to be some things that I've got to do here, habits I have to get rid of, new habits that I need to establish, disciplines, exercise, certain things, because that's going to help me to become the person God wants me to be. And so I get back to those things. I remember when I was going through a strong, it was just a deep depression. I remember the thing that kept me strong, kept me getting out of that, was the fact that I knew I had to do devotions every morning, and I went out to do exercise every morning. And I thought those two things helped me to keep my head from going nuts. And you start focusing on that which is far greater than that which you see. And that helps you to pull out. I have a thing that tells me what God has called me to be. And I have to visit that almost every day, because people will come and say, you don't preach deep enough. You don't preach wide enough. You laugh too much. You don't laugh enough. You're too ugly. You need to preach more end time stuff. You need to preach more hell. You need to preach more heaven. You need to preach more Israel. You need to go after sex traffickers. You need to do this. Like, whoa, if I did all of those things, I'd be dead long ago. I'd be in Africa somewhere. So I've got to visit again. What has God called me to do? Since I was 19 years old, God has called me to preach the gospel in such a way that turns converts into disciples and disciples into lights in the world. And since 19 years old, I've been preaching the gospel in such a way that turns converts into disciples and disciples into lights in the world. And when people give me all of these things, I go back to the fact that I've been in ministry 40 years now, and it's because I remember when God called me, I was to preach the gospel in such a way that turns converts into disciples and disciples into lights in the world, and I'm going to keep doing that till Jesus calls me home, and I'm going to visit that every single day and do that better and better and better. Whether it's through books or messages, I'm just going to keep doing that until Jesus calls me home. But you see, if you don't know that, you're open to distraction. I was speaking last week in California to a pastor's conference, and 500 pastors came. And then the next day, I was to preach four services at the church that was hosting the conference. And it was two services here, and then you get into a car across town, one service there, and then you get back in the car, come back over here, and preach the fourth service over here. So after two services, I was jettisoning out to get into the car to take me across town when this big guy, 6'5", 6'6", 270 pounds, came in and grabbed me from behind. I thought, oh, I'm roadkill. This is it. My life has flashed before my eyes. But he spun me around, and he was crying like a baby. And he said, I drove 2.5 hours here just to tell you thank you, because it was 9 years ago at Farrington High School, I received Jesus Christ at New Hope, and my whole life has changed. My family came back. My marriage came together. My kids are doing good. I drove 2.5 hours just to tell you thank you for preaching the gospel in a way that I could understand. Wow. And you need to know what God's called you to do as a man of God or as a woman of God. And you fix your eyes on that which is far more eternal. Otherwise, the cuts and the scrapes will get infected. You'll dwell on it. You'll get vengeful. And you'll get depressed and discouraged. And the stones will clog up your well. And then the devil has won. Don't you dare let him. This is the time when we've got to rise up. Now here, as I end, let me issue this challenge. There are some of you here that need to break out of trying to please everybody and get back to pleasing an audience of one. There's some of you here that need to break out of the habit of trying to please everybody and get back to pleasing an audience of one. It's time we start to shake some things off, guard our heart, fix our eyes on what God's called you to do, and quit trying to please everybody. And when you do that, you will please an audience of one. And then He'll deposit in you, with every cut and bruise, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And when that happens, people look at you and they'll see the touch of God on your life. That's the kind of people we want to be. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Cuts and Bruises by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
See, something that's a greater priority than trying to please everybody, which is a dangerous thing. Something far greater is the priority of keeping your heart guarded.
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.